With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hockey Hotbed, presented as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Nick Brulanski, and we have a fun show for you guys today as we are going to be discussing the 32nd franchise in the NHL. Of course, that is the Seattle Kraken, heading into their inaugural season, just under a month away from the first ever puck drop on Seattle Kraken hockey. We have a lot to discuss in this episode. As of course, with any expansion franchise, there are a lot of questions heading into the inaugural season of the Seattle Kraken. We're going to start off by building Seattle's lineup from what we see on their roster now, what I expect them to come out with on night one, game one, as far as lineup is concerned. And then we'll talk a little bit later about who will be their breakout star. We saw Vegas have a William Karlsson performance. We saw Riley Smith's performance in the inaugural season back in 2017-18 for the Vegas Golden Knights. So we'll talk about who that could possibly be for the Seattle Kraken. And also, I mean, in general with that, also just talking about who's going to provide scoring for this team, because that is always the biggest question. They were not able to, as you would expect, not able to bring in a huge premier scorer to their roster right off the bat. You don't expect that out of an expansion franchise. So the question is, who did they pick up that could potentially go out there and score goals for the Seattle Kraken? And then we'll finish it off with an easy question. Is Seattle a playoff team this season? Do they have an opportunity to make the playoffs? Obviously, the expectations might be a little bit raised, thanks to, again, the Vegas Golden Knights, because they went to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season. I don't think the Kraken get that far, but I'll let you know whether or not I think they're a playoff team to start the season. But let's start off this episode trying to piece together the lineup from what we've seen so far and who we see so far on this team. Not going to lie, initially, after the NHL draft, I was hoping, selfishly hoping, to get the opportunity to see Matty Beniers play for the Seattle Kraken. Obviously, he decided to go back to Michigan, as I mentioned on the last episode of the Hockey Hotbed, so go back and listen to that if you want to hear me talk about all the Michigan draft picks that decided to head back to their alma mater. So no Matty Beniers, first ever draft pick of the Seattle Kraken, but they still do have a pretty serviceable lineup. And starting off with the first line, and first line center especially, they're not really deep when it comes to center. It's hard to be deep at center. They don't have a clear first line center. But then again, a lot of teams in the NHL don't. But I think they probably head with the veteran angle here and go with Marcus Johansson. Marcus Johansson has kind of been around the block lately. He's kind of been passed from team to team. But the guy is still a very talented player. He might not be a first-line center on most teams in the NHL. But for an expansion team like this, why not give him the opportunity? I think if you put him in the middle of Jaden Schwartz and Jordan Eberle, you have a pretty solid first line out there. Those are three guys that have plenty of experience in the NHL. Three guys that have a scoring touch and have shown the ability to score in the NHL. And three guys that have kind of not made expectations. I mean, they haven't met their expectations. A lot of people expected a lot from these three players, especially last season. Jaden Schwartz had a rough season, but overall, Jaden Schwartz has proven to be a pretty consistent player in the NHL. Marcus Johansson has been pretty reliable on every team he's gone to. And Jordan Eberle, of course, having the career that he's had, drafted high to the Edmonton Oilers, not meeting expectations in that market, moving on from that market, finding success in New York in a different type of role for the New York Islanders. Now we'll see what happens when he goes to Seattle. Is that going to unleash a little bit more of a scoring prowess in Jordan Eberle? I don't know. And I wouldn't believe so. But I would still think that they put him on their first line because, to me, he is one of the most surefire things for the Seattle Kraken when it comes to top six forwards. Now we move to what I think is probably going to be... I think they're going to have a solid middle... A middle six, I should say. I think their top line talent obviously leaves a bit to be desired, especially if they go with Schwartz, Johansson, and Eberle, which is what I predict. But I think that leaves a middle six that could be pretty dangerous and that could get some good advantages and good matchups for Coach Dave Hakstol. Starting with the second line, I think Alexander Wennberg is basically a premier target for a breakout. I know it seems kind of simple, the guy that struggled in Columbus. He did go have a pretty decent season in Florida last year, now coming to an expansion team. It's basically William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault's stories mixed together. That's Alex Wennberg, although he's never been a 30-goal scorer like Jonathan Marchessault was for the Florida Panthers. But he did show improvements last year under Coach Joel Quenneville, and now with a more important role and more integral role on the team that he's playing on, we might see him take another step. I think he is flanked by Calle Järnkrok on the left and Jonas Donskoi on the right. Donskoi is a guy that has played for a lot longer than a lot of people remember. He was on that 2016 San Jose Sharks team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. He scored an overtime game winner in the Stanley Cup Finals. And Calle Järnkrok on the other side, he had experience with the Nashville Predators. So you have two guys that are still pretty young. I wouldn't say they're spring chickens, but Jonas Donskoi especially. But they're still pretty young. They have some talent. They have some scoring ability. And I think if you flank Alex Wennberg with those two, especially the Järnkrok-Wennberg connection there, I think that could be very profitable for the Seattle Kraken. I think that is a solid second line. And the reason I have that as the second line is I want to keep Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev together. Both of those two played for the Pittsburgh Penguins the past couple of seasons. I think you throw Colin Blackwell as a third line center and you let Jared McCann play on the wing. As we saw throughout most of last year, Jared McCann is much more comfortable on the wing. We saw him find success with Jeff Carter on the third line when Carter was able to play center for him. So I think you have Jared McCann as your third line left wing with Colin Blackwell and Brandon Tanev. Brandon Tanev is picture perfect. If you're a Seattle Kraken fan, if you're a new hockey fan that's chosen to follow Seattle, Brandon Tanev is going to be your favorite player. You look down this roster, yeah, Mark Giordano is probably going to be a fan favorite. I'm sure people are going to love Philip Grubauer because of, one, how good he is. But Brandon Tanev is easily, and it seems like he already has, ingratiated himself with the Seattle fan base. He's going to be a menace in that Pacific Division. We get to see the Tanev matchup. Brandon Tanev for the Seattle Kraken. Chris Tanev for the Calgary Flames. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch Brandon Tanev play in a little bit more of an elevated role. Obviously, he was very important to the Pittsburgh Penguins the past couple of seasons, playing on that fourth line with Zach Aston-Reese as well as Teddy Bluger. But now showing him as basically a pure third liner, giving him that opportunity, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him try to ingratiate himself once again with a fan base like he did in Pittsburgh. And also, I mean, Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev, they were fighting. If you go back to the 2020 bubble playoffs and the training camp leading up to it, they were fighting in training camp. That's a lot of fire that you're going to love if you're a Seattle Kraken fan. So I keep those two together. Jared McCann, Brandon Tanev on the third line with Colin Blackwell centering. I think that rounds out a really good middle six. And like I said, that's going to get you some pretty good matchups, especially in that Pacific Division, where you have Edmonton, who does not have a solid depth forward core behind that first line. This line could eat up the middle six of the Edmonton Oilers. This line could potentially eat up top lines for the Anaheim Ducks or the San Jose Sharks. So I think these two lines right here, the middle six, is going to be the bread and butter of the Seattle Kraken this season. Now you look at the fourth line, you can throw a couple guys on there. They drafted a lot of young players that you could have on there. I made it simple. I put Ryan Donato on the left wing, Riley Sheahan, who is obviously a Wiley veteran, a guy that has played on plenty of fourth lines in the NHL. Put him as the fourth line center and then put Mason Appleton on the right side. I think that rounds out a pretty solid forward core. If you look, as far as expansion forward cores go, that's pretty solid. So, of course, let me run this down again, and I'll throw it up here on the video feed. I have Schwartz, Johansson, Eberle. I actually messed that one up, so I'll take that off. But I had Schwartz, Johansson, and Eberle as my top line. Cali Yarncroke, Alex Wenberg, and Jonas Donskoy is the second line. Jared McCann, Colin Blackwell, Brandon Tanev as your third line. And then Ryan Donato, Riley Sheahan, and Mason Appleton is your fourth line. That is a solid, solid forward core. I think that is something, of course, the question is still, and we'll answer that in the second segment, where does the scoring come from? Because those are all guys that are half decent. You know, they've shown a history of putting the puck in the net, but none of them really blow you away when it comes to goal scoring. We'll talk about that in the second segment. For right now, let's move on to the defense core. Obviously, Mark Giordano is going to be the captain of this defense core, the leader of this defense core. He's going to be the captain of the team. I doubt they put it on him the first season. There's a good chance by the second season, Mark Giordano has a C on his jersey. Once again. Because he was the captain of the Calgary Flames. The guy, obviously, a former Norris Trophy winner. He's going to be paired to me with Adam Larson, who is, a lot has been said about Adam Larson, the one-for-one deal with Taylor Hall. But Adam Larson has played extremely well in Edmonton the last couple of seasons. He's a solid defensive option. So I think he gets an opportunity to be a top-line defenseman here with Mark Giordano. I think those two together are going to provide a pretty solid jumping off point for the Seattle Kraken defense. The second line, it's to me, it's going to be the question mark of can these two guys produce when they're given a higher role. Jamie Oleksiak obviously signed that huge contract with the Seattle Kraken. They're not going to have him any lower than the second pairing. I for one, like the big rig. I loved him when he played in Pittsburgh. I thought he was pretty good when he played in Dallas as well. I think he was very good in 2020 when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think he'll be on the second pairing on the left side, and I think he'll have Vince Dunn on the right side. Vince Dunn is also a Stanley Cup champion. Certain say also, Jamie Oleksiak didn't win a Stanley Cup, but has also played in a Stanley Cup Final and won with the St. Louis Blues. He could never really get past, when Pietrangelo was there, obviously he was ahead of them. Obviously, Colton Parayko is there ahead of him. So we'll get to see Vince Dunn in a much more important role here with the Seattle Kraken. And that's kind of the storyline of anybody that goes to an expansion team. A lot of them are players that were underutilized by the team they came from. And we'll see what happens when they're given a little bit more of a spotlight. This is the epitome here on Jamie Oleksiak and Vince Dunn's second D pairing. We'll see what they're able to do. Because if this D pairing is successful, that could directly correlate to Seattle finding success when it comes to standings points, when it comes to goals allowed. I think this D pairing is kind of the key to where the Seattle Kraken season might go between these guys and that middle six in the forward core. There's a lot of ways you can go with the third pairing defense. I'm going with Carson Soucy and Jeremy Lozon. I might be wrong, but I think that that's probably the best bet when it comes to who they have left. So, defense pairings, Giordano Larson is the number one. Oleksiak Dunn is the number two. And Carson Soucy and Jeremy Lawson, the third pairing. Goaltending, it's pretty obvious. Philip Grubauer, was a Vezina finalist last year. He's going to be your starter. And you're going to have Chris Drieger as your backup. That is a solid, solid decor. And a solid goaltending tandem. That's probably one of the best goaltending tandems in the NHL. I would have to look through, but I would venture to guess that is one of the top five goaltending tandems in the NHL. Not a bad place to start if you're the Seattle Kraken. So that is my rundown of the Seattle Kraken lineup. Obviously, a lot of this is going to change. It's probably Dave Hakstol is going to look and put together a completely different lineup than what I just said. But to me, that is the lineup that Seattle should go with. When we come back from the break, who is going to be a breakout star for this team? Who's going to provide the scoring for the Seattle Kraken team? All that and more when we're back here on the Hockey Hotbed. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 2 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, which it is now in Arizona, so check this out if you're in Arizona, DraftKings has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game during week two. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Welcome back to the Hockey Hotbed. Thank you for tuning in to Season 1, Episode 3. Of the Hockey Hotbed, talking a lot about the Seattle Kraken heading into their initial and inaugural season. I'm excited to see them play. I was excited to see the Vegas Golden Knights play back in 2017-18, but I think I'm even more excited to see the Seattle Kraken play, even more so because of what I saw back in 2017 from the Vegas crowd. It's going to be a very fun season for them. Can they make the playoffs? I don't know. We'll talk about that in segment three here on the Hockey Hotbed. But for right now, let's talk about breakout seasons. Obviously, we compare, and we're going to compare, a lot of the Seattle Kraken season this year to what we saw in Vegas back in 2017 and 2018. Simply because that's the closest thing we have to a comparison right now. Now, it might not be fair because Vegas, obviously, as many people know, went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. They had a really, really, really successful inaugural season. And the big reasons for that were breakout performances. Who will be the Seattle Kraken's William Karlsson? Who's going to be the Riley Smith? You look at the Vegas Golden Knights. They had five breakout performances during that season. You know what? I'll give you four. James Neal was already a proven commodity when it came to goal scoring. And he went out there and did it again. 25 goals, 44 points in 71 games. That's pretty much James Neal. It's what you expected from James Neal, and that's what Vegas probably expected from James Neal. They wanted him there because they wanted a proven scorer, proven commodity to put the puck in the net, and that's what he did. But then you have a guy like Erik Haula, who goes off for 29 goals. That's a breakout performance. You have a guy like David Perron, puts up 50 assists. A lot of people forget, David Perron had a really good season with the Vegas Golden Knights in 2017-18. He puts up 50 assists. And then, of course, you have the epitome of what it means to be an expansion player in the 2010s. And that was the Golden Misfits line, is what they called them. William Karlsson, Riley Smith, and Jonathan Marchessault. One of the biggest, if not the biggest reason that Vegas was able to find the success that they did back in their inaugural season. Jonathan Marchessault was coming off a 30-goal season for the Florida Panthers when he was drafted in the expansion draft. He went out and put up 27 goals, 75 points in 77 games. Riley Smith, who was also just traded to Vegas because Florida wanted out from under his contract. Florida wanted just get him out of there. Riley Smith goes out, puts up 22 goals and 60 points in 67 games. And then, of course, the kicker, the one that everybody points to, is William Karlsson. 43 goals, 78 points in 82 games. All three of these players playing on the same line all finish just a hair under a point per game. All, of course, scoring career highs in points. That is the reason the Vegas Golden Knights found success that season. If we all remember, scoring was also still an issue for Vegas at points, especially to start the season. Scoring was an issue. Then they found their stride. This line found its stride. And they were able to push for a playoff spot because of that, because of Marc-Andre Fleury in net, and because of the way they played the game. Is that not just kind of a blueprint for Seattle on how to find success this year? They need to find these players. They need to find their William Karlsson. They need to find their Riley Smith. They need to find their Jonathan Marchessault. But there's a couple players on this team that kind of fit the bill. I want to start with Jared McCann. Obviously, I know a lot about Jared McCann because I've watched a lot of Penguins hockey in the past couple years. Jared McCann last year had 14 goals, 32 points in 43 games. Not an awful season for a guy that, if you consider the fact that bounced between the third line, the second line, the first line, wing or center, played on the power play, didn't play on the power play. He was jack of all trades. I don't want to say master of none because he played really well on the power play when he got the opportunity with Evgeny Malkin's injury. He played extremely well. And that might lead to an inflation in his goal total. But I think Jared McCann, with an inflated role, being able to basically stay in, I don't want to say a top six role because I put him on the third line in the first segment. But even on the third line for Seattle, he's going to find more playing time, find more favorable matchups than he did in Pittsburgh. And I think when it comes to breakout performances, Jared McCann is somebody that you definitely need to keep your eye upon. I can see him going out and putting definitely 20 goals. With this team, I could see Jared McCann putting up 20 goals. 25 might be the max for me. I don't think he'll go over 25. If he does, I mean, color me surprised. But I think Jared McCann is probably good for 20 to 25 goals this season for the Seattle Kraken. I think that's the type of breakout you can expect from him. Especially if they use him on that first power play unit. And especially if they put him in the top six. I didn't put him in the top six. Dave Hakstol might have a completely different idea. But if he plays in the top six, definitely, yeah, definitely 20 goals. I would put it max 25 goals for Jared McCann. So obviously, I think he's going to have a breakout season for the Seattle Kraken. I think there's two other players that will have even bigger breakout seasons, and I think they're primed for even better seasons for the Seattle Kraken. These are the guys that I think are going to be the headliners, the guys that are going to be your William Karlssons. They're going to be your Riley Smiths. They're going to be your Jonathan Marchessaults. They might not be riding in the nice of cars, Jonathan Marchessault, but I think they'll play like them. First is Jaden Schwartz, coming over from the St. Louis Blues, signing a pretty hefty contract with the Seattle Kraken. Pretty hefty contract. You look at Jaden Schwartz's performance last year, 8 goals, 21 points in 41 games with the St. Louis Blues. Not great, especially by his standards. He has had pretty steady success in the NHL when it comes to goal scoring. Only puts up 8 goals last season. Obviously, it is a weird season. You can take last year's stats with a grain of salt for basically anybody in the NHL. Jaden Schwartz, though, the way he played last year, I don't think that's indicative of how he's going to play this season, especially because he's going to be a top liner on this team. He's going to get top line minutes. He's going to get opportunities that he didn't get in St. Louis. Schwartz was a 4-time 20-goal scorer so far in his career. I think, obviously, he makes it 5-time this year. I think he goes to be a 30-goal scorer this year. I think he has what it takes to possibly go out there, put up 30 goals, and be one of the leaders on this team when it comes to putting the puck in the back of the net. You want to know what Jaden Schwartz I expect to see this season for the Seattle Kraken? I expect to see 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs Jaden Schwartz. 12 goals, 20 points, in a little over 20 games in that cup run with St. Louis. Obviously a Stanley Cup champion. Obviously you look back at that cup run and you realize that the majority of his performance was all in that first round series against the Winnipeg Jets. I believe he also had a hat trick in that series. I think it was game six, actually. I would have to double check, but I think in game six, he eliminated the Winnipeg Jets with a hat trick. Obviously, other players scored, but I expect Jaden Schwartz to go out there. I get it's a gamble, especially after the season he had last year, especially for that price. I mean, 5 years, $5.5 million per year on the cap hit. That is a gamble by the Seattle Kraken, but they had the money. You're a brand new team. They still have $8 million in cap space right now. I don't think they're going to use it. It wouldn't be smart for Ron Francis to use that right away. You look at where Vegas is right now with their cap situation. You don't want to follow them into that. So yeah, it's a little bit of a gamble at $5.5 million a clip. But I think it pays off. I think he's primed to be a breakout performer for the Seattle Kraken. The last player I want to mention, it's almost too easy. And I spoke about him a little bit earlier when I was talking about the lineup. And I spoke about how the fact that he is basically the perfect merger between William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault's story. In the fact that he was underutilized in Columbus. And he had a breakout season the year before he gets drafted in Florida. 17 goals, 29 points for Florida last season. I know what you're saying. That's not a breakout season. But when it comes to goal scoring, it is. Compared to what we saw from him most of the time that he played in Columbus, that was a return to what we expect from Alex Wennberg. 2016-17 is the reason we have these expectations, really. I mean, you look at the season he had in Columbus in 2016-17. 13 goals, 59 points with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Career high in points. Last year, 17 goals is his career high. Overall, he played better in Florida. He was given a more integral role in the lineup. And he stepped up and he became an integral player for a really good Florida Panthers team, a team that has some really good studs on that roster. Alex Wennberg is going to get top 6 minutes. I put him as a second line center. I initially put him as the first line center. I think he could go either way. He's going to be either the first line or the second line center for the Seattle Kraken this year. Do I think he scores over 20 goals? I think he is primed to do something like that. If he doesn't score over 17 goals, or sorry, over 20 goals, I still think he's going to be one of the team leaders in points. Seattle and Ron Francis are banking on the fact that he's going to continue the progression that he started last year with Coach Quenneville. And I mean, he's going to be given a much bigger opportunity than he's ever been given before. So I think Alex Wennberg is definitely primed to have a really good season. So if you're watching Seattle Kraken hockey, to me, the three guys you need to watch out for when it comes to who is going to have a breakout season, who is going to be the best scorers for the Seattle Kraken, who's going to put the puck in the back of the net, because this is going to be a team that is predicated on keeping the puck out of the net and scoring just enough goals. That's the formula. If you want to follow what Vegas did in their first year, that's the formula. Be really good at preventing goals and then score just enough. So the three players I'm looking at there, Jared McCann, who's going to be in that middle six that I'm vaunting at the beginning of the season. Jaden Schwartz, who I think is going to be a top liner all year long. As long as he remains healthy, he will be on that top line probably the entire season. And Alex Wennberg, who could be their first line center in a month's time, and I would not be surprised. Those three players. Now, obviously, there's other players. I think Brandon Tanev is going to be a fan favorite, as I mentioned earlier. I think if you look at it, Cali Yarncroke could have a really good season. Colin Blackwell might have a really good season. Jordan Eberle, I mean, that's the guy that you brought in. That's the big name they brought in. That's the James Neal move right there, even though Jordan Eberle has never been the goal scorer that James Neal was. So we'll see what Eberle can do. But I think if you're looking realistically at the three guys that are going to lead this team offensively, I think you're looking at Jared McCann, Jaden Schwartz, and Alex Wennberg. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, can the Seattle Kraken make the postseason? That's going to be an interesting story. We'll see what they can do. We'll be right back.
Hockey fights, lifestyle, and tales from a first-round draft bust? We have it all and more on the Hockey Podcast Network. your home for boutique hockey content and podcasts covering every team in the NHL.
Final segment here on the Hockey Hotbed for this Tuesday, September 14th episode. We are less than a calendar month away from hockey, people. Oh, that just makes me smile. That makes me so happy knowing that in less than 30 days, let me double check that for sure, but it feels like in less than 30 days, we're going to have regular season hockey to watch. Yep, 28 days for when you're listening to this, 29 days from when I'm recording it. We're going to have regular season hockey. Obviously, starting it all off with the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Pittsburgh Penguins on the Lightning banner night. Looking for a three-peat. If you want to hear about their chances to go win a third straight Stanley Cup, make sure you tune into our series premiere of the Hockey Hotbed, where I talked to Chase Croshaw of the Bolts broadcast. We talked about Tampa Bay Lightning and their opportunity to go win a third straight Stanley Cup, something that hasn't been done since the 1980s. And the New York Islanders. But let's talk about a team that hasn't even been a real team for more than three seasons. They haven't even played an NHL game yet, and I'm sure they're excited for their season opener coming up in just about a month. That's the Seattle Kraken. Of course, we've been talking all episode long about the Kraken. I gave you my lineup projections. I gave you my breakout performer projections. And now I'm going to ask a simple question, and I'm going to answer a simple question. Can this team make the playoffs? Can they do similar to what we saw from the Vegas Golden Knights? Can they make the postseason? It helps in the division they're in. That Pacific division, to me, is going to be the weakest in the NHL. And I don't think it's particularly close. I think the Metro and the Atlantic are both juggernauts. I think the Central is underrated. And I think the Pacific is exactly what we expect the Pacific to be. The Anaheim Ducks are still coming out of a rebuild. San Jose is in the midst of a rebuild. LA is coming out of a rebuild. We'll talk to Jordy Cunningham of the King's Den podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. That'll be next week. But when it comes to this division, it's Vegas, Edmonton, and then a crapshoot. What is Vancouver going to be? I don't know. What is Calgary going to be? I don't know. What is Seattle going to be? I don't know. So it is going to be difficult, but the way that the Seattle Kraken built their roster, they built it to compete in this division specifically. You look at their defense, they're massive. Very tall, very big-bodied defensemen to be able to contend with basically every team in the Pacific Division. Then you also see the focus on defense and goaltending. There's not a lot of goals scored when it comes to the Pacific, other than the Edmonton Oilers, and even there it's Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and then nothing much after that. RNH, you know, I'll give RNH a little bit of respect, but after that, there's not really much. Even Vegas, especially in the postseason, trying to find goal scoring has not been easy for Vegas. But again, those two teams, that's the epitome. Calgary struggles to find scoring every year. Vancouver, they have some very talented players. They have some very talented goal scorers. Sometimes they struggle. Can this Kraken team make the playoffs? I mean, you look at their defense and look at the goaltending even more. I mentioned it in one of my last segments. This goaltending duo is one of the top five in the NHL right out of the gate. Philip Grubauer is a Vezina finalist from last season. Was a big reason why the Colorado Avalanche went and won the President's Trophy last season. And is overall one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. I would not be surprised in the least that he contends for a Vezina once again this season. Chris Drieger, on the other hand, is a guy that came onto the scene very out of nowhere in Florida. Was able to kind of push Sergei Bobrovsky and all $10 million per season out of the way and grab some starts from him. And this past season, it was Bobrovsky, Driedger, and Spencer Knight. So you knew something had to give there. Bobrovsky, obviously too much money to go anywhere. Spencer Knight, the young gun, you knew they were going to put faith in him. So you knew it was pretty much a predetermined outcome that Chris Driedger was going to be on the Seattle Kraken. So Driedger, Grubauer, those two are going to single-handedly make this a conversation. We talked last segment about where the goal scoring is going to come from. You still need that to happen. I think it will from the players I mentioned, and I think it will come from some of the other players on this roster. But I still think it is a question mark. I think there's the opportunity for those players, but it is still a question mark whether or not they're going to be able to score enough goals to be a playoff team. I think their defense is going to be really good in that division. I think their goaltending is top tier. I don't think they're going to beat out Vegas or Edmonton. Vegas, I think, is the surefire bet, and we'll talk about this when I do my Pacific Division preseason breakdown, but I don't think anybody's going to beat out Vegas in that division. I think it's pretty easy to determine who's going to win the Pacific. And I do still think that Edmonton, with Connor McDavid, with Leon Draisaitl, with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I still think they're the number two team in this division. But could Seattle slot in as the third seed or even a wild card? I think it's more likely that they slot in as a three seed, because I look at that central division and I see four or five teams that could be playoff teams. And again, I'll talk about that when I get to my central division rundown, but I think if there ever was a year for the central division to put five teams in the postseason, it's this year. I think the Pacific is that weak this year. I think it's not going to be for that much longer. Anaheim at some point has to start clicking. San Jose, they'll turn it around. LA is on the precipice here. Vancouver, if they can figure it out, they're on the precipice too. Calgary's been trying to figure it out for years. Maybe they will at some point. But I think if there's any year for the Central Division to put five teams in the postseason, it is this season. Where does that leave the Seattle Kraken? That leaves the Seattle Kraken fighting for the third seed in the Pacific. Again, those are the teams they're going to be competing with. I think LA might have a chance if all things go right for them. I think they're in the exact situation that the New York Rangers were in last season, where they might not be a playoff team quite yet, but next year might be that first year of really pushing for it. So I think the big teams that the Kraken are really going to have to compete with is going to be Vancouver and Calgary. Vancouver already, I mean, that's a built-in rivalry right there. The proximity between those two teams was immediately known to be a rivalry. And we'll see what happens there. Vancouver, they don't really have that big of a rival. I mean, yeah, you have Edmonton. Yeah, you have Calgary. And I might be speaking out of turn here because I'm not from Western Canada. I understand that those rivalries are even more heated than I would probably ever understand unless I go up there. So I don't want to speak on that too much. But the Seattle and the Vancouver rivalry is going to heat up a lot this year simply because those two teams are probably going to be fighting for this last playoff spot. Do I think the Kraken can make the playoffs? Sure. Sure they can. Yeah, it is quite possible. The opportunity is there because they are in a weak division. They built their roster to compete specifically in this division, and they have fantastic goaltending. The only thing that I think will be holding them back is whether or not they can find the goal scoring, whether or not Alex Wennberg, Jaden Schwartz, and Jared McCann, and even to a bigger extent, if Jordan Eberle can find the back of the net with enough frequency to put this team over the top and into the playoffs. Excuse me. I do think it is a really, really good chance that this Kraken team competes and finds a playoff spot this year. I wouldn't be surprised in the least. What do they do once they get there? I don't think very much. I don't think there's very much they can do if they make the postseason, especially because they're going to be playing a team like Edmonton who, yeah, they don't play well in the postseason. They haven't really had postseason success in the Connor McDavid era, but you have to figure at some point they'll figure it out. Maybe not. I might be wrong. Maybe they don't figure it out. I mean, you look at Toronto at the same clip.
But even if they do get past Edmonton, they probably end up having to face Vegas, and that just doesn't look like a favorable matchup for the Kraken, at least at this point. But again, they've never even played a game. They could go out there and be world beaters. I don't think they will be, but they could be. But when it comes to overall, do I think at this point in time that they are a playoff team? I think there's a chance. I'm not going to say it's a lock. I'm not going to say it's likely. I'm going to say there's a pretty good chance. I would say 50-50 that the Kraken make the playoffs. That's where I'll put my stamp down. 50% chance for the Seattle Kraken to make the postseason out of the Pacific Division. And if they're going to do it, it's going to be in the three seed, because I think there is an 80% chance that the Central sends five teams to that postseason this year. But that's going to do it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this breakdown of the 32nd, wow, I can't even speak at the end of this, the 32nd franchise of the NHL, the Seattle Kraken. We are less than a month away from their first ever game and their first ever performance. We'll see how some of this shakes out. We'll see in a couple of weeks what Dave Hakstol, the head coach of the Kraken, what he puts out there as far as lineups are concerned. But I think it's going to be a really fun season. Obviously, it's going to be a fun season around the entire league. Most teams ever in the NHL at 32. Seattle Kraken in their inaugural season. A lot of other storylines to get to, and we'll get to that before the season kicks off in just under a month. But for right now, we say goodbye. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on Friday.